presence of God is always everywhere. He's omnipresent, but man, I can feel the glory of God right now. Can you feel the heaviness of God's glory? Amen. Not a seat safe in here. Amen? Amen. Well, good morning, church. If you weren't here in the beginning of service and maybe came in late, my name's Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible, and I'm thankful you're here this morning. This is a very important morning. So for whoever struggled to get here this morning, I'm glad that you're here. This is a very important morning for us. It's going to send us in the right direction in what God is calling us to do as a church. This is something I believe, every message I believe is from God every week, but I truly believe we need to catch this vision. Amen? Well, first off, I want to say this. I want to thank you from my wife and from myself. I want to thank you and everyone in here for the wonderful Christmas cards and the gifts and the blessings on the new year. Thank you so much. We love you and we appreciate it very much. We appreciate you all and all that you do for us and all that you do for the kingdom of God. Amen? We appreciate you. Someone this week from our church sent me this amazing scripture on Facebook Messenger. Amen? It was 2018 is a representation of verse 18. And 2019 is a representation of verse 19 is a representation of 2019. And I want to start our service off with God's word in this. Isaiah chapter 43. I want to read verse 18 to you. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I want to stay right there. Amen? 2018. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Guess what? You can dwell on 2018, but absolutely nothing will happen in your life. Nothing will get better. The what-ifs in life are lies from the enemy. The what-ifs in life trip you up, keep you stuck. What if? It doesn't even matter. It's over. Do not dwell on the past. And here's God's word for us in the next verse, verse 19 for 2019. God says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Do you not see it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Amen? Come on, church, celebrate. Half y'all celebrated. I'm going to read that again and then let's celebrate. This is God's word for us this morning. 2019 says, God says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not see it? Do you not perceive it? Do you not feel it? Do you not know it's shut up in your bones? Do you not know that the Spirit of God is saying this? I am making a way, God says, in the wilderness and streams, which is life, life in the wasteland. Now celebrate. Amen? Amen. 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 What a wonderful time to be alive. And a fantastic time to be in the will of the Father. Amen? If we're not in the will of the Father, guess what that means? We're not in the will of the Father. It seems simple, but it seems absolutely devastating. If you're not in the will of the Father, whose will are you in? Church, hold on this morning. Hold on to your seats. Amen? God's ready to do something amazing. It's going to be simple, profound, and amazing. Why? Because it's from God. That's why. Sometimes we make things complex. For what purpose? If you have an opportunity to take notes, which all of you do, awesome. You need to take notes today. I'm asking you today, please take notes. This is a very important day to take notes, whatever you have to do, even if it's on your phone, right? Just don't write notes in the Bible in front of you, in the pew, okay? We need you to take this home. God wants us to be a productive church. Amen? Amen? Amen. He wants every church to be productive. Amen? So how do we do that? So I believe it starts here. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. I'm going to read it in the New King James version first. It says, "Then the Lord answered me and said, 'Write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it.'" I'm going to read it in the NLT. Habakkuk 2:2 in the NLT. "Then the Lord said to me, 'Write my answer plainly on tablets, so a runner can carry the correct message to others.'" I love that version. Correct message. See, that's powerful. Why is it correct? Because it's from God. It's from God. It's the correct message. Too many times we muddle up what God says through our fallen nature, through our self. Amen? A lot of times we take it upon ourselves because we feel some sort of unction or some sort of amazing thing, but we don't stop to ask God what he's truly saying. So here's another year that's been wrapped up. 2018 is over. If you like it or not, it is over. But the new one has come. 2019 is here. So I've been praying for a really, really long time, many, many months. God, what is supposed to be our main focus for 2019? And my wife and I agreed on this. And it's going to center around our second G in our vision, church. Our second G in our vision. Do you know what that is? Nope. Nope. Growing. Who said growing? You're right. Growing. Growing. Grounded in what is number one? 3G method. That's our vision here. 3G method. Grounded in the Word of God. Growing in, if you know it, say it. See, I'm going to have to cast vision better because y'all don't know it. That's not good. This is the vision of our church. Grounded in the Word of God, growing in discipleship, and going to serve. Grounded in the Word of God, growing, second one, in discipleship, and going to serve. It's a 3G method. It is what we have centered pretty much everything around, what God has given us a vision. Before I took the lead pastor position, God gave us this vision and where God wants us to go. So what does that mean, growing in discipleship? We heard one form of that this morning from a beautiful lady who did an excellent job. Close your mouth. She's like, "Oh, you know you're beautiful, right? Come on now." Ms. Sharon did an excellent job this morning telling us an avenue of discipleship. But God blew our minds, church. Don't you love it when your spiritual mind is blown? See, you can have one of these, but you can have one of these. Your spiritual mind blown. Our spiritual mind was blown at our fall pastor's retreat back in October, just a couple months ago, where God laid it out in front of us. Why did he lay it out in front of us? I think it's so we can run with it. So we can carry the correct message to others. That is what I'm doing today. Praise God. So here you go. You ready? Did you know that Jesus never told us to go plant churches? Did you know that Jesus didn't tell us to grow churches? Did you know that Jesus didn't tell us to build churches? I'm breaking some theology today, amen? It ain't God's theology. Y'all's theology is my theology. God didn't tell us to run programs. He didn't tell us to have children or even youth ministry. Jesus didn't tell us to have any programs. No, what did Jesus tell us to do, church? Make disciples. First Open Bible, everything we do should be making disciples. Everything. If what you are doing in your life right now, all right, it's time to look inward. If what you're doing in your life right now, in your ministry, you're like, "I don't have a ministry in church." You are a ministry. Your life is ministry. If what you're doing in your life and in your ministry is not making disciples, stop it. Stop it. What is our greatest need to get this all done? Money? Money is not the greatest need. That's the world. laborers are the greatest need. We need to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers. Matthew 9, verse 38 tells us this. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields. Multiplying churches is the essential mission of Jesus. Everything we do, everything you do is this, church. One part strategy, one part miracle. Think about that. If God wanted to do it all by himself, he could. He just speaks it out and it's all done. But God didn't make us drones. God didn't make us angels. God made us human beings in his likeness, with free will, with a choice, and with a calling and a purpose. God uses his church. We have a responsibility. And then God does a miracle. That's how that works. We are called to do what we can do, and then God does the rest. Amen? You are called to do what you can do, and God will do the rest. Didn't Jesus have a strategy with two fish, some loaves of bread? He had a strategy, and out came a miracle. We must always remember, this is his church. This is not your church. This is not my church. This is God's church. And we own nothing. We steward everything. How are you stewarding your call? I got good news, though. Y'all, man, this is heavy, right? Man, I just began. I just started preaching. Is this recording? Give me thumbs up. Amen. Good. Good. I got good news. We have an unfair advantage when it comes to discipleship. Right? Everybody loves an unfair advantage, man. Everybody loves to know that they're probably going to win. I got good news. You're probably going to win. Why? We have the advantage of the Holy Spirit. That's why. We got the Spirit of the living God in us, speaking to us and working through us. So an authentic relationship with God is something you cultivate. If you don't have a relationship with God, or it's not going so well, it's not God's fault. Is it? Either you hate it or you love what's being said right now, because it is quiet up in here. We have to listen to God. We have to listen to his Spirit. We must be intentional about listening. Be intentional about listening. Get away from the noise of your life and get in God's presence. Listen to what he's saying. And then when you hear him, do what he says. Period. No more excuses, church. No more. No more. There is not enough time for excuses. If you were here Wednesday night, my wife taught an amazing lesson to us Wednesday night. Amen? Oh, right there. Them two girls loved it, baby. They loved it. They could be front row. Got bad news. I'm teaching Wednesday. All right? The following week, she's back. She's back. Two fans will be there, no doubt. What my wife said was absolutely truth, but heartbreaking. The church looks nothing different than the world. We have just as much divorce. We have just as much sin. Why does a world need a church that's not different? Whose fault is that? A good leader says this. Right here. Because this ain't being preached from in the right way. This pulpit needs to be full of fire. No more tolerance. Truth and love and compassion. Truth, church. Jesus was no hippie. He didn't go around with a bunch of peace. Everybody's fine, man. He got in their face and he told the truth. And he loved the ones that were down and out. And he saw something in people when they didn't see something in themselves. He loved people for who they are and not what they're being at that moment. Fill this church, Lord, full of sinners because we're already here. We're saved by grace. Saved by grace. While I was listening to the Holy Spirit in the last couple months, I asked him some questions, and here's some of them. Lord, what are some changes we can make here at First Open Bible? Right? Even this morning, just the change of tithe, everybody was confused. It was a little awkward because change isn't easy. It was simple, but change is important. If we're doing something and it's not, okay, here's a biblical example. What did Jesus say if a vine is not producing? You prune it, man. You cut it off. You'd be done with it and you start somewhere new. That's change. But we get so scared to change. But we have to do things what God is calling us to do. So I ask God, what are some changes we can make at First Open Bible right away to build leadership equity? What can we do right away to lead? God, what can you do in me to help me lead these amazing people at this church? And God gave me three answers. I'm going to give them quick. Number one, you must create a sense of urgency. We must create a sense of urgency. We say it all the time, and it's almost become, you know, you get into the same things over and over again, and it kind of just becomes, oh, yeah, right, whatever. Like, right, I could read John 3:16, and half of us would be like, oh, that's a good verse. No. That is one of the most important verses in all of God's Word, because we become, what's the word I'm thinking of? Complacent? That's a good word. Yeah, complacent. We're going to go with that. Complacent. Forget how powerful God's Word is. See, we hear this. We must create a sense of urgency. We say this all the time. God's coming, and he's coming soon. Like, oh, yeah, I know. No, you don't understand. He's coming soon. If there's not a sense of urgency in your heart, then there's something wrong. It's not connected to God. He's coming back, and people will go to hell if it wasn't for the church. We must do something. There must be a sense of urgency. We got to get moving, church. We have to. See, we ask a lot of the wrong questions. The question isn't, do we need another church in our community? We have lots of them. But here's the question. Who's missing at the churches? That's the real question. Who's missing? The lost. The orphans, the widows, the sick, the poor, the businessmen, the government officials, the firemen, the policemen, the factory workers, the foremans, the bosses, the workers, the temps, everyone. So far from being finished. Amen? Number two, God said, go with the goers. Go with the goers. You cannot get everyone to buy in and follow. You can't. But you can get a group of people to believe and understand the sense of urgency that must be in them, and then go with them. Listen, Jesus, Savior of the world, God's one and only Son, the one, 100% man, 100% God. He had 12 disciples and only 11 followed him. God himself couldn't get all 12. Go with the goers. See, what will happen is eventually others will follow. And number three, create a guiding change group. Create a guiding change group. Get the people around you that will work with you, who are excited about the future. Work with them and change things for the kingdom of God. Amen? All right, so now to discipleship. Habakkuk 2:2 in NLT says, then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so the runner may carry the correct message to others. Here's a fact. Church organizations all over the globe, especially in America, are aging and or declining and or closing. Churches all over this nation are declining, aging, falling apart. So what must we do? We must strengthen what remains, and we must extend our tents. Amen? So we got to strengthen. What that means is we stand firm on where we're at right now, and then we say, God, how can we expand? Let us expand. If every church did that, let's stay strong, let's stay right where we're at right now, and let's expand. All churches would start growing. If the church isn't working like it should, then we need to stop. Hard to hear, isn't it? True. If the church isn't, if your car never turned on every single day, or it always fell apart every single day, or it burns whatever and it's falling apart every single day and it didn't work, would you keep driving it? If church isn't working like it should, then we must stop and ask God, what will work? So will you go with me somewhere real quick? Y'all are like, well, oh my goodness, we're going to have church like Saturday afternoon or something. No, we're not going there. I want you to reimagine something with me real quick, okay? Let's reimagine discipleship. Maybe we've been calling discipleship something that it isn't. Here are three essential questions every church and everybody in church and all the leadership must answer. Number one, why are we doing what we are doing? Why are we doing what we are doing? Number two, what are we doing? Simple, but seriously, what are we doing? Number three, how are we doing it? How are we doing it? We need to ask all these questions and answer all these questions the way that Jesus answered them. And this is what he said: to seek and to save that which was lost. To seek and to save that which was lost. Why? Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. What? Go and make disciples to seek and to save the ones that are lost. And how? Jesus showed us how. And why? He answered it all like this: to seek and to save those who are lost. Here's what typical church discipleship looks like. It's called discipleship, a pathway to salvation. Okay? You're going to take classes 101, 201, and 301. We're going to talk about the fruits of the Spirit, tithing, volunteer work, and leadership. And that's all we do. And here's an awesome quote from the pastor's retreat back in October. Quote, the church becomes a stagnant body of water. We are cycling the same people around and we end up stewing in our own juice. End quote. Does God call us to have a pond come out of us? A stagnant pond flow right from you in Jesus' name. No, rivers of living water. Fresh, fresh, fresh. See, effective discipleship, this is a good thing to write down right now. Effective discipleship is Jesus' discipleship. Effective discipleship is Jesus' discipleship. It is discipleship and evangelism together. It is discipleship and evangelism together. This is Jesus' discipleship. See, what we normally do is we ask others. We ask non-believers to leave their comfort zones and come into our comfort zones. What we do a lot of times, and I'm not just talking about us, I'm talking about church in general. What we do is we sit in our pews and we wait and we hope that these people will come to faith so we can disciple them. That is not what Jesus did. That is not what Jesus did. I wrote, yikes. capital Y. Yikes. But how did Jesus make disciples? We can find a great example in Matthew chapter 4. This is how he did. I wrote four ways how Jesus made disciples. Number one, he did this. Jesus placed himself in proximity to people, and he made himself aware to them. In that Matthew chapter 4, remember he was walking across the shoreline, and he was saying, "You fishermen, come with me. I'll make you fisher of men. Come with me. I'm going to get where you're at, and I'm going to call you out from where you're at." Number two, Jesus called people by name. Names are so important. Even if your mommy and daddy open a book and just pick one out, your name is important. Number three, Jesus spent time with them. This is how Jesus made disciples. Jesus spent time with them. And number four, he engaged in spiritual conversations. Jesus engaged in spiritual conversations. So think about this. When did evangelism happen in this process? When did discipleship happen in this process? Churches are very heavy on the saving side, and we're very sloppy on the seeking side. I'll say that again. Somebody want to say that again? Okay, thank you. I won't say it again. Churches are very heavy on the saving side, but we're very sloppy on the seeking side. Jesus came for what? To what? Seek and to save that which was lost. Didn't Jesus seek you? Let me ask you another question. I want you to ponder this for a moment. When did the disciples become Christians? Think about it. When did the disciples become Christians? Do you suppose it's possible that 12 out of the 11 disciples weren't Christians for the 3.5 years that they walked with Jesus? A lot of you guys gave answers after the cross. My personal belief is I believe that the disciples became Christians after Jesus died, rose again, spoke to them, and breathed the Spirit of God into them. Receive the Spirit of God. It's at that moment they followed Jesus. See, they were following him, but what happened when he got arrested? They scattered like they're unbelievers. They're afraid. The disciples were not Christians until after Jesus died and rose again. All right, will you show this graph, please? Okay, so here's a graph. It says maturing disciples. See, right there at zero, that's when people become saved. They give their heart to Jesus. They ask the Lord to come into their life, and that's when they become saved. At that zero. We think discipleship happens after zero. Every single time. We don't think it ever starts at -3. But that's not how Jesus did it. See, missional progress happens on both sides. The saved side, 0, 1, 2, and 3. And the unsaved side, 0, -1, -2, -3. That's discipleship. What if you were to have a relationship with an atheist? All right, anybody have a relationship with an atheist? What if through your relationship they become an agnostic? What does that mean? Atheist believes that there is no higher power, right? We just die and it's over. An agnostic believes there is a higher power but hasn't put his finger or her finger quite on what that is. Is that not discipleship? See, we like to count how many people get saved in church or rededicate their lives, which is super important. Or we like to count how many attend our programs, how many were here this morning at church. Right? that's the wrong kind of counting, church. We need to count more than just the ones that have a profession of faith. The right kind of counting is figuring out how many people are being discipled by the church. That's the right kind of counting. Saved people, unsaved people, both are being discipled. Here's a sign of a mature Christian. A sign of a mature Christian is when you are hanging out with people who are lost. Right? What? Say what? I can't go. What? Remember, our example is not the church, it's Jesus Christ. That's our example. Where did he go? Zacchaeus, who no one likes. I'm eating with you at your home. You're not going to come to the temple and you're going to come and listen to me preach, right? I'm going to come to your house. Think of the people that Jesus used. He used doctors, and then he used the scum, the tax collectors. And then he used the ones that nobody liked, the fishermen. Jesus has to be our example, church. A sign of a mature Christian is one who is hanging out with the lost. Now, here's the key. Just because you're hanging out with them doesn't mean you're doing what they're doing, right? I went to the bar and got drunk with them. How did you look like Jesus then? How did you look like the church? How did you look like something different than them? That is not what God is calling you to do. It's to be where they are, but not necessarily do what they're doing. You are called to engage with them. All right, everybody's eyes on me real quick. I want to ask you a question. How many spiritual conversations this week did you have with an unbeliever? So I'm guilty of this next thing. We need to build our schedules to put ourselves in proximity to people who are lost. See, our calendars should be balanced with both seeking and saving. Right? My life, I literally live on this compound, we call it. Right? I'm here all the time, and all the people I pretty much know are saved people. It's hard to find unsaved people because I'm always here. Does that give me an excuse? No. Sorry, God. You know, you gave me a house right by the church. This is what I'm going to do, right? I go places. All right. Who likes numbers? Who likes statistics or percentages? Anyone? All right. It's for you, math people. All y'all English people, just correct how I'm talking. Okay. So who's missing? In 2010, I realize this is old, but this is the best, most solid information I could find. In 2010, in Linn County, we had 211,000 people, 211,226 people living in Linn County, 2010. 40,930 are Catholics. 35,522 are mainline Protestants. 29,184 are those of evangelical or Protestant churches like us. 4,969 are others, like Buddhists or Mormons or Hindus. 545 of those are Orthodox. 433 of those are Black Protestants. This is information I found off the internet. But here's the biggest number of them all. Let me play in Mario right now. It's not a good time to play Mario, right? Here's the biggest number of them all. 99,643 people in Linn County in 2010 do not attend a church or affiliate with a church body. That is 47% of Linn County, almost half of Linn County, do not go to church or do not say that they're a part of a church and most likely do not know Jesus. 47% of people we see every day don't have a home faith. Will you write down these five questions, please? These are important questions to ask yourself. Five important questions to ask yourself about discipleship. Church, 47%, we have a job to do. Have a job to do. Number one, how do we reach them? How do we reach them? How do we reach them? Number two, how can we make lost people aware of us in a positive way? How can we make lost people aware of us in a positive way? Number three, where can we have spiritual conversations with lost people? Where can we have spiritual conversations with lost people? I hope everybody's taking notes or going to do it later. These are, if you want to catch this vision, you have to do this. This is how we got to pray, church. Number four, where can I learn names of lost people? Where can I learn names of lost people? When I say your name, there's a story behind it. There's a life. There's a past. There's a current. There's a future. When I say it, it's important to know names. Names. Let me tell you, the mantle of God came upon me in this position 2.5 years ago or so. I was not good with names. I could see a face and know exactly, you know, I know you, but I don't remember your name. The mantle of God, I asked God for it. I can remember names better than I have in my whole entire life. You just have to ask God for that gift. Because names are important. And five, lastly, questions to ask yourself for discipleship. How can I learn the stories of lost people? One of my favorite things in all of life is to learn something about each and every one of you. And almost every single person in here, I know a story about your life. I know your family, I know where you grew up, I know maybe your favorite sports team or your hobbies, I know something that happened to you, good or bad, I know something about you. How do I learn the stories of lost people? So all of this starts with you. You're the only one responsible. We're wrapping up, church. Being a disciple maker means that you will begin to look at the people in your life differently. If God only cared, oh, come on now. If God only cared about the religious activities, if God only cared about the religious activities, then the Pharisees would be the heroes of our faith. Oh, praise God for that hero. Oh, do you remember how he ripped his clothes because he was so angry and how he prayed so loud everyone heard him? Or how he threw the most money in the tithe basket? Or how he showed up to church every week and how he was always always doing the right things all the time? And do you remember when he tells people how bad they are and how good that he is? Right? If that was what was so important, religious activities, the Pharisees would be the heroes of the faith. But that is not God. God cares about relationship building. God cares about relationship building. Okay, who's nervous about this? All right, thank you for your truth. Everyone else wants to raise their hand, but they're too nervous to raise their hand about being nervous about all this. That's a lot of nerves, man. Don't you know the Spirit of God is inside of you? Come on now. Woo! You can't do it. It's true. I can't preach. The Spirit of God in me can, man. The Spirit of God in you can disciple all people at all times because you get out of you and get into Him. Okay? Who's nervous about this? Truth. I want truth. Raise your hand if you're a little nervous. Amen. That's truth. See, all my leadership in here, all the board and their wives and all the staff cast this vision in October. And a lot of them raised their hands too. Welcome to being a human. Remember what I said, we have an unfair advantage. got the Spirit of the living God. So everyone who raised your hands, y'all look at me. Everybody who didn't, I'm speaking to them. Pray for them right now. Here's your, literally wrote, pep talk. Number one, relax. Stop being abnormal. Choose to be normal. Number two, stop making discipleship something it is not. Number three, don't worry, you have an unfair advantage. The Spirit of the living God is helping you. You are literally a vessel filled with God's presence. Number four, keep doing what you're doing. Do the same stuff. But now think differently about discipleship. Number five, God wants you to, this is very important. Anybody raise your hand? This is important. God wants you to enjoy ministering to others. This is not an obligation. This is a joy from God. Number six, what can you do that will help people make you aware of them in a positive way? Just think of how you can be in their life in a positive way. All right? Seven, learn people's names wherever you go. Pray for them by name. And you don't have to sit in your room for an hour praying for one person. Man, you get their name, you pray for them right then, right there. You drive away from wherever you're at, pray for them right then and there. And if you forget their name later, at least you did it. Write it down if you can't remember. Number eight, ask yourself, who in my life right now can hear, I can hear their story? Then ask God, who is ready for a spiritual conversation? All right, you ready for the bar? Here's the bar. I'm going to set the bar today. Here is the bar. Going into the world to make discipleships, here's your bar. Do not be a jerk. Praise God, hallelujah. There's enough jerk Christians in the world. You don't need to be one. Do not be a what church? Don't be a jerk. Knock it off. Imagine if Jesus was a jerk. It ain't gonna happen. So when you befriend a non-Christian person, unless they ask, I want to ask you something. If you befriend a non-Christian person, a lot of us get all anxious and they must know Jesus right now. Man, you're gonna scare them off. That's crazy. Quit being so weird. Remember? Be normal, not so abnormal, right? Right? Oh, how are you doing today? Oh, in Jesus' name, lay it out. Oh, get up out of me. Right? Spirit of God, come, fire. Right? Oh, dude, that person, cray, cray. Person's crazy. Right? Man, be crazy for the Lord, but think about other people. Quit thinking about yourself. Okay? Here's a standard. If nobody asks any questions and you befriend a non-Christian, be their friend. Don't jump into all the things that they're doing, you know, cuss and do all these things. But for 4 months, say nothing about Jesus. 4 months, just be their friend. Just get into their life. Love on them. Let them see that you do something different without using the name of Jesus. Be Jesus without saying Jesus. Okay? And then, if there's an opportunity, bring the heat. Come on now. Bring the heat, but do it the way that you now know for 4 months how they would receive it. How can you speak to them? Everybody's different. Everybody has a story. Everybody has an angle. Everybody somewhere at some time needs Jesus in some spot. If they know it or not, they do. They do. But you will never know it if you don't befriend them. You'll never know about them. Church, we're called to bring the light into the darkness. So here's some challenges and takeaways from God's vision for 2019. I want you to think about your life relationships right now. Family, friends, acquaintances, everyone. And ask yourself, how well do you love those people around you? I didn't say like. God didn't say go and like everyone. Some people are just hard to like. But you gotta love them. You gotta love them. People are hard to love, but that's what Jesus said. You got to love them. And when you get the heart of God and you love them, you'll start to like them because you won't see them from what they're doing. You'll see them for who they could be because that's Jesus' eyes. So how well do you right now, the people in your life, how well do you love those around you? Number two, assess your current relationships. Can you see that there are areas that you need to work on? Okay, now pray about those areas. And then do something about it. Then do something about it. And number four, ask God what practical, I love that word, practical. Try to get all spiritual and all overzealous and crazy. What practical steps can you take to increase your love for people? All right. May I have a show of hands if you call Jesus the Lord of your life. If you are a Christian, raise your hand and keep it up. You're a follower of Jesus Christ. Now keep your hand raised for a moment, please. Okay. Everyone with their hands raised. If you are not willing to make loving God and loving people your highest priority, then stop. Stop. Seriously, walk away. Until you've settled this in your heart. Because the job description of a disciple maker is the same as that of a follower or disciple of Jesus Christ. It's going to take all of you, everything inside of you. It's going to require everything. It means following Jesus in every aspect of your life. And if you're not ready to lay down your life for Christ, then you're not ready to make disciples. Okay, put your hands down. God uses the church to reach the world. That's his strategy. That's his strategy. Right? If you read God's word, what's the Old Testament? What was the Old Testament's strategy to speak to people in the world? There's two major ones. Prophets, judges, right? God's mouthpieces speaking to people to say, turn and repent, right? Like Jonah. Jonah's obedience, which took a while, even with a bad attitude, right? He was being a jerk. He shouldn't have been. That's why Jonah's not our example. Jesus is. A whole nation came to Christ. I'm sorry, came to God. A whole nation came to God, laid down their life, asked for repentance, asked to be full of God's repentance and said, I'm going to give my life to him. A whole one because of obedience. And right now, in the age of grace, God uses his church. God uses you. You. And how does he do it? Through what? Discipleship. That's how he does it. What we do inside this church really matters. God cares about the way that we love each other. If you can't love each other in here, you have no business loving anybody out there. Seriously, if you have some sort of beef with somebody in here, or goes to this church, you better lay that down and go to them and ask for forgiveness. I don't care who did what. 90% to 10%. 95 to 5. Did Jesus not die for that on the cross just as much as he died for your salvation? Did he not? If you can't love that person and ask for forgiveness, you have no business going out there and loving anyone else. God loves it when we love each other. That's how the world will know us. God loves the way that we pursue his mission. God has commanded us to come and gather together as a church. That's why I'm thankful you're here this morning. All over this city, local assemblies are coming and they're sharing God's word. They're preaching God's word. They're celebrating in the Lord's Supper. They're baptizing new believers and they pray for one another. God's word says, do not forsake the fellowship of the believers. Do not forsake it. So after we gather today, we have something to do, right? Every time Sunday, and it's not like we all go out to eat and we just blow up Pizza Ranch, right? First Open Bible owns Pizza Ranch today, right? We could, that'd be kind of fun, but yeah. It wouldn't help me in my weight loss, right? I guess I'll get some more salad. Tired of eating rabbit food. All right, After we've gathered together as a church, we are called to scatter. Okay? Can you say scatter? Scatter. And we do that to care for the believers and share the gospel with the non-believers. Ministry or ministering sounds intimidating until you would develop the realistic view of what ministry is actually really about. It will not be intimidating. You will not be scared if you know what ministering is really about. So maybe your gift is not preaching, right? Some of y'all say amen to that, right? Maybe your gift is not starting an outreach. Maybe your gift isn't leading children's ministry. But do you know any people who struggle with sin? Can you answer that? Do you know anyone in your life that carries burdens around? I know you did. So your job is this. Your job is to help them. Your job is to minister to them. Your job is to love them. Your job is to disciple them. It's to lead them. It's this simple. It's all wrapped up in this bow right here. Your job is to lead them closer to Jesus. That's it. Anyone who was nervous before, your job is to lead them closer to Jesus. That's it. It don't got to look like I do it. It doesn't have to look like the person next to you does it. It has to be the way that God has called you to do it. You must lead people closer to Jesus. That is what discipleship is all about. That is what ministry is supposed to be all about. That is the center of everything. It's that simple. See, some plant, some water, but God. But God, but God. Is this resonating in anyone's spirit right now? Amen. 7-8 people. Hallelujah. All right, so last thing I want you to write down. Here is the vision for 2019 after all that's said. Here is the vision for First Open Bible in 2019. It is two simple things. And anyone who calls this your home, this is your vision for 2019 at church here. And I just want you to know, we're going to go with the goers, right? Some people sit on the sidelines until they see that the game's kind of fun and then they'll step in. It's all right. We'll take you when we get you. But right now, two things. Number one is this. I want you, God wants you, to disciple two people for 1 year, at least 1 year. Two people, as soon as you can. One believer, one non-believer. Disciple them. Do you remember what discipleship is? Lead them closer to Jesus. That's it. Atheists to agnostic. Someone thinking you're a jerk to knowing you're not so bad after all. I wonder what made them change. That's number one. One believer, one non-believer. Number two is this. Every single person in here, and I started my list yet. Or I just started my list, but I don't have 10 yet. Every single person, I want you to get 10 names of non-believers that you're in contact with and pray for them by name every day if you can, or multiple times a week. 10 names of people that do not know Jesus as their Savior or are not serving Him at this moment. 10 names to write them down. Where I did mine is I have a list, and I work in my office and I face my computer, and there's a little sticky note right there. And every time I'm typing or doing my sermon, I'll look up. I'll pray for those people right where they're at and know that God doesn't want them there. And I'll just pray for them. And it doesn't have to be long. God, you know, so-and-so. Touch them right now. So-and-so. Pray by name. By name. Church, love them. Be kind to them. Make yourself known to them and ask God for spirit-led encounters to share the gospel. Then when the right time hits, when it's God's time, share Jesus. Amen? I want to say our strategy and then I'm going to pray. Then we're going to go and scatter and do what God has called us to do. Number one, you're to disciple two people, a believer and a non-believer. Right? Do not make this a New Year's resolution. This is not. This is a calling for our church for a whole year. This is much more important than losing them love handles. You know what I'm saying? All right? Number two, get the name of 10 non-believers that you're in contact with and pray for them by name. By name. I go get gas at usually the same place every time, and there's a lady there that I know, and I know she's not serving a life with Jesus, and I put her name down, and I just wrote first name, because that's all that's on her tag, and I pray for her. And because I pray for her, I've never missed her name walking in. I don't have to look at her name tag. I just know, because I've already been praying for her. She's already on my heart. God already has a plan for her. The enemy will not win in her life because somebody, it says that somebody's praying for them. Man, did anybody have a grandma that prayed for you by name? I had a great grandma that prayed for me by name. And maybe I wouldn't be a pastor today if it weren't for her praying for me. You know, what's cool about the Christian faith is we're not about addition, right? I'm going to add a couple people. It's all about multiplication, right? There's one Frank. He's praying. He's going to disciple two people. Well, that's times two, right? And then he's going to pray for 10 people or more if he has. And that is how many more? That's 10 times the amount of who he is. Why can he do that? Because the Spirit of God lives in him. That's why. He can do this. And what will happen? There are angels that are bored out of their mind because the church hasn't been praying like it's supposed to be praying. There are angels that are bored because the church hasn't been walking around and doing the things that it's supposed to be doing. Angels were not created to be bored. Amen? Woo! Hell has been defeated. Hell has been defeated. About time the church remind the world of that. It's about time the church reminds the world of that. And how do you do it? You disciple. Love somebody who don't love Jesus. Love somebody who does love Jesus. Disciple them. I want to pray for you before we go. Just lead them closer to Jesus. That's all you got to do. Lead them closer to Jesus. Okay? I'm going to cast this vision probably multiple times this year so we don't forget it. Because God's word in Habakkuk 2:2 says, I got to make it plain. Right? I got to bring it. I got to bring it. Make it plain. Write it down. So why? So you can take this and you can run with it. And I don't want you just to run. I want you to run with the correct message. You have to have the right message. God's word says that this right now in these pews is not the end. This is the beginning. This is where the fire comes from. This is where the equipping comes from. This is where your heart comes from. This altar that should be full every single Sunday that is not should be here where you get built up, lifted up, tore up maybe, or whatever, on fire that you can go out. Make wherever you're at an altar. We must be a church that's activated by love and compassion. If we are not, more churches will die out and be gone. Why? Because we haven't been preaching Jesus. We've been preaching religious things. Religious things. You realize, I could say next Sunday, nobody's meeting in here. I have a tent over in the parking lot of Hy-Vee and we should meet there. Did we have less church? No. Highlight the things that are the most important. It's not about religious activities. It's about relationship. Amen? It's about relationship. Your first relationship should be with God. Your second relationship should be with your family. Right? Church family, physical family. Your third relationship would be with a lost and dying world. I hope you don't go to work tomorrow with the same eyes. I hope you don't go to work tomorrow with the same heart. Or live in the same building with a bunch of people that are lost. I hope you don't go back and lose the vision that God has given you. Don't make discipleship something it's not. It's just literally leading people to Jesus. But you have to make some changes. You must pray. Write their name down. You must get into their life. Ask them about that. And ask the Holy Spirit, when is the right time to share your love? And until that time, God, give me an avenue. Many of you work in businesses or places that you realize nobody wants to hear anything about Jesus until their mom has cancer. And they're like, I don't got any other choices. Even the doctor said it's done. Stepping in. I already got that relationship with you. Hey, Janet or Jan or Susan or whatever, Sue, whatever's name it is, Fred or whatever. I want to tell you something. I've been your friend for how long now? 3 months? That's awesome. And I'm glad that I work here. This man named Jesus that I love changed my life many years ago. And I've seen miracles. I've seen things that don't make sense. But I read the thing called the Bible. And this Bible says that in the last days, there will be miracles. And right now, your mom needs a miracle. And I don't have all the answers. But what God does call me to do is to love you and to love your mom and pray for you. You want to take a break real quick? Let's go out in the hallway. I'm going to pray for your mama right now. And you get real with them. Get real with them. But guess what? A week ago, you just talked about that game that happened. Okay, cool. You're talking about that new car they got or some sweet kicks that they're wearing. I don't know. Whatever you want to talk about. This beautiful purse that they bought or I don't know. Whatever's going on. You got to be real, church. We got to be real. We got to be authentic. Will you stand, please? Preaching it, baby. Father, I'm sorry for making it something it's not. Forgive us, God. Forgive us. Forgive me as a pastor not preaching. True discipleship is. Break us, God. Break us so you can build us. Lord, I don't want the church to be an example of how we do church. I want Jesus. He's the head of the church. He's the head of the church. You are our example, Jesus. We got to do it like you did it. Brent, will you come up? We're going to sing one last song. I realize it's probably late right now. Oh man, it's just Pentecostal time. If you have to go, feel free to go, but don't go if you're not changed. Right now is an opportunity. Say, God, 2019 is yours in my life. Teach me how to disciple. I'm going to leave these altars open. If you physically are able to, I'm not asking about your willingness, because your flesh never wants to do it. Too many Christians relying on their soul and not their spirit. If you can and you're able, it's a symbolic thing to say, Jesus, not only a sacrifice, but through your obedience, I'm giving you 2019. If you can come to the altar here in just a moment and just give that to him, just pray to him and ask him to help you, give you strength, will you do that? Father, we love you. We give you this year. Lord, I know that this is going to morph and change and totally reshape the way we do church here at First Open Bible, God. I thank you for discipleship programs like InStay, but InStay is an avenue that I get discipled so I know how to disciple better out in the world, God. Getting in your word and understanding your truth and what really matters, God. But right now, I pray for every heart in here, every heart, every mind, every soul, every life, every name right now. By the Spirit of the living God, fire come right now and consume in the way that only you can consume. God, I ask for a vision and a hope that they can catch and they can run with it, God. And if this is something that they believe in, God, that they will be part of the goers that go, God, because we need to see the 47% in Linn County know Jesus. They don't have to come to this church, but God, I want them to have a family life that they can rely on, a church life that they can come to, an avenue that they have somewhere to pray for people to pray for them and love on them, and when they go through hard times or whatever it is, that they have a body, they have a church home, they have a family. God, teach us. All we want to do is draw closer to you and help others do the same. God, let it be, 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 let it be. In Jesus' name, amen. You may come to the altar if you want to ask God to help you.